This morning, we hear from the Gospel of Luke, a famous and foundational story of our faith, where Jesus answers the question with a radical story of neighborliness. Let us open our ears, our minds, our imaginations across time and space to join Jesus and his disciples in their conversation. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came to that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan, who was on a journey, came to where the man was. But when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves?" Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy toward him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Decided to do a little custodial turning the Holy Spirit on above us there. Let us pray together. Loving God, for all the times you meet us on the side of the road, thank you. For all the times you call us over to the side of the road, let us hear. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say, Amen. First off, can everybody hear me okay? Like that? Good. Okay. If I start speaking too quickly or too softly, hold up your hands. Grateful again for the mic system. This is the third time in about 2 or 3 months we've heard a version of this story. Not the Good Samaritan, but the question, what do I need to inherit eternal life? It happens in Mark's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, which we heard during stewardship season, and here we hear it in Luke's gospel. Your gospel, that's right. And we hear it in a new way because this is the only time the Good Samaritan appears. in the Gospels. Those of you who've heard me preach for a few years know that I do not consider the fundamentals of the Christian faith, belief in the virgin birth, or the bodily resurrection, or the miracles, or the inerrancy of Scripture. There's a fifth one I'm forgetting. But it's not that I actually think those are important to the Christian faith. They're important for us to wrestle with. They're important for us to think about and believe in certain ways, but they are not defined by yes or no, true or false questions. I believe that Jesus gives us the fundamentals right here and in Matthew and Mark to love God with all your soul, all your heart, mind, and being and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we come to worship together, my goal is that we are leaning into the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when we go out of here, we are encouraged to live into the second commandment of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I realize when we hear that commandment given, it's easy for those of us who've been in church for a long time to sort of say, yes, Jesus, I get it. Love God, love your neighbors, yourself. Yeah, the Good Samaritan, all that. Because it's familiar. And yet it's a very radical story. I have to say, I have never struggled with loving my neighbor. And I was thinking about this, and I realized it's because I grew up with really great neighbors. I was just around some of them a few weeks ago for my mother's memorial. And on our left side were the Landers, Tony and Linda. Tony was an uprising, upwardly mobile physician who came from a very poor family of nine children. He was the eighth of nine. He got into gastroenterology just as fiber optics were taking off, and he made lots of money, and he invested it well. Linda was Miss Missouri, 1959. They had two beautiful children who were my playmates growing up. One is still a close friend to this day. And even as they got upwardly mobile and they were enticed to go away to a nicer neighborhood and a bigger house, they said they wanted to stay there because they liked living next door to the French's. And when they put in a swimming pool, they put in a gate, which Tony called Kent's Gate, that I could come over and use it whenever I wanted. Across the street originally were the Sprongs, and they're the whole reason that we moved into that neighborhood. Barbara Sprong was at a dinner party out in Denver, Colorado. And my Aunt Dorothy met her at this bridge party. And she learned she's from Independence, Missouri, where Dorothy's baby sister, my mother, had just moved with two young children. And she was very concerned that her little sister didn't have a church to go to yet. And she asked Barbara if she went to a church. And she said, yes, I go to First Baptist in Independence. And she said, well, would you please invite my sister to church? That's part of the whole reason I'm your pastor today, is because of that conversation in Denver, Colorado. They moved away for a better job for Jerry, but we remained close friends until Barbara's dying day. My mom and Barbara had a musical kindergarten, which ironically they stopped before I was of age to be able to do it. Barbara was the first of second mothers for me because she had had a child die of crib death the year before I was born. And I was like a child to her. And when my mother was busy with volunteer activities after school, Barbara would have me over and fix me peanut butter and jelly, and I'd watch Sesame Street. And to this day, peanut butter and jelly and Ernie and Bert and Grover all warm my heart. She continued to be a second mother to me until she died of Parkinson's a few years ago. On our right side, we had the Winships, who were a little strange to us. He became a senator in the state senate. She never let any of us kids in the house. They'd say, you can't come in because mom's fixing dinner, and then I'd see dad bring home McDonald's for the whole family. One day, Jerry came over and told my dad, we're getting a divorce, we've never been happy.